Yo, 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 what's happening, my beautiful people? You're now tuned in to the Big and Bright podcast.
It's your boy Big.
And it's your boy Bright.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to beautiful Broken Knuckle Studios here in Waterford, Michigan.
Yes.
Much love to Marco. Much love to Katie. Much love to Dave Shank. Please give them a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, to allow us to do what we do and bring you the best, the very best sports podcasting that you can absolutely hear from a good viewpoint and perspective.
For sure.
So jumping right into it is one of the controversial things that's been happening over the week with Drew Brees and his comments in regards to the Black Lives Matter protests and the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. Big, how do you feel about that?
So when Drew Brees was asked about the whole you know, do you think players are going to be protesting this year, A, B, C, D, F, G? Drew Brees went right for, well, you know, I'm not for any players disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the country. My grandfather's fought in the wars, A, B, C. And ultimately, I mean, you know, some time has passed since this whole thing. But initially, I was a little hot about it because the timing was terrible. Since then, he's apologized. Some of his teammates followed him off of social media, called him out, you know, what have you. Different peers, in the NFL called him out, you know, had some, you know, choice words, really. Even some NBA players and stuff like that, LeBron, Steven Jackson, some of the other guys, man, were pretty upset about it, you know, and, you know, rightfully so, because the timing was terrible. You know, but it was just one of those things. I think it went over his head at the moment. You know, I don't think Drew Brees is a racist person. I don't personally. I just don't. I think he's done a lot for a lot of people over the years, the city of New Orleans. Ultimately, I think that it was just an ignorant statement. He didn't understand the full velocity of, you know, in the weight of that question. He wasn't ready for it. And I think it went over his head, and he blurted out something that was ignorant, which is, I don't stand for anybody disrespecting the flag, when in all actuality, it's never been about the flag. So since then, I believe he's gained some understanding of the full spectrum. That is my thoughts at this moment. I feel like he just made a stupid decision. It went over his head. He made an ignorant comment, bad timing, all of those things. What do you think? Tell us how you really feel, Bright.
In all honesty, if Drew Brees, okay, I'll just paint the picture for you, right?
Okay.
Drew Brees grew up in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We know Texas is not a very, it was one of the states that was a part of the Confederacy.
Okay.
Okay. He grew up in Texas, a staunch Republican.
Okay.
Staunch Republican. You've seen nonstop pictures of Drew Brees and Donald Trump. He supported Donald Trump. He voted for Donald Trump. Not only that, his father is a staunch Republican, very prominent attorney.
Okay.
In Texas, where Drew is, you know, in Drew's hometown. Drew is a product of white privilege. Grew up very, very, very wealthy.
Facts.
Didn't have to struggle for anything. I'm pretty sure a lot of his teammates weren't black. Mm-hmm. Growing up, right, until he got to Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you don't believe he's racist. I don't believe he's racist. I believe he's extremely what we would call whitewashed. Mm-hmm. And naive.
Ignorant to ignorant. A certain
he's
extent.
He's extremely ignorant.
Yeah.
To the point where this whole time, mm-hmm, he's so used to following the status quo,
mm-hmm,
and he's never paid attention to the struggles, to the plight of his teammates from college on through to the NFL. He's never paid attention to it because it was never brought to his doorstep, so he didn't care.
And you could tell he was trying to be politically correct when he was talking, because he did talk about unity. He did talk about coming together and different things like that. But in the big realm, he's he's been sheltered, as many white people have. They've been sheltered from, this is our true reality. This is the ugliness that we live in. I think that he's one of those people, because for you to be in the NFL and around the NFL for upwards of 20 years, come on, man. Come on, man. You don't know. You don't know what's going on.
They don't know because they don't care to know, because it's not affecting them.
I think there's some validity.
Always been that way.
There's some truth to that for sure.
In America.
But look at Aaron Rodgers, though. Aaron Rodgers was literally, he literally said the opposite. He said it's never been about the flag, and he's been actually pro, I ain't gonna say pro black, but he's like been standing with the whole process. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but also,
anytime he's asked about
look
it.
Look at Aaron Rodgers' upbringing.
Okay. California.
Came from California, which is very liberal.
Okay.
Not only that, he also spent time at West Los Angeles Community College.
Okay.
Where it's 95% black.
Okay.
He was the quarterback there before he went
on. So he's been around black people more.
He's been around black people pretty much his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So he understands what they go through. He understands the struggles.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I think Aaron Rodgers probably took some time to, you know, especially with him being drafted, right? He was drafted in the first, late in the first round, but he never was thrown right into the fire. He waited about 2 or 3 years. So his awareness, he probably hung around teammates. He probably did a lot of, you know, because most quarterbacks, bro, I mean, let's just be honest. Most quarterbacks are divas right from the jump. If you're a first round pick, you don't hang around everybody. You don't really get into all of that. Like, you're that guy. So you're kind of separate. Really, from most of the people.
Aaron Rodgers.
But with him being like a late pick, he was on a bench, so he wasn't that guy right away. So he had a chance to get some camaraderie with some guys. That's my belief.
Okay, well, Drew Brees, same. He didn't come in the guy.
Okay.
So that's no excuse.
Who was the guy when he – I'm trying to think back.
Did you forget? Because
he was with the Chargers. He came in with the Chargers.
And you know who the guy was?
I'm trying to think who the guy was at the time when he came in.
I'll let you try to gather your thoughts and see who the guy was.
Because I know Philly Riv came in right after him, but I don't remember who was the guy before Drew. Let me see who was the quarterback before Drew Brees.
Go ahead. I'll let you look it up before. Okay. I give you the answer.
You funny.
But at the time, Drew was, you know, he was fighting for playing time as well in San Diego. Not only that, but and then when it finally did click for him is when he tore up his shoulder. And the rest was history. So with that, you know, just to add into it, you know, I think I don't accept Drew Brees' apology whatsoever, because he's only trying to save face. And when someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them, because this is who they are. Nothing's going to change that. No apology is going to change that. Your initial response was how you truly felt.
Yeah, I hear you.
Your initial response was how you truly felt. And the only reason he start backpedaling and he start apologizing is because a lot of people start getting in his ass about it. Teammates.
Oh, yeah, they came for him.
Other athletes, black, white, Asian, they all came for him. And what he did is what you call damage control. So,
Doug Flutie was the quarterback before Drew Brees.
Absolutely.
Ryan Leaf and then Doug Flutie in 2001. I didn't know Brees was there in 02.
Yeah, Drew Brees came
out. Brees got there in 02. I was thinking it was 04, which is the time when Big Ben and Eli and those guys came in. But Brees was 02. So, yeah, he came right after Flutie.
Yeah, he was Flutie's backup.
Okay. Yeah. So you know, no, I totally understand, man. People who don't, if you're not ready to forgive him, like I get it. Because, like you said, there's some heavy truth to that. When somebody shows you who they are, believe it.
Most individuals, right?
Mm-hmm. But there are people who do say dumb things, and it's really not their heart. That is a real thing. Individuals
who are prejudiced, as I told you before, they try to hide their prejudice.
Yeah.
Through patriotism.
That's true.
and wrap it in the American flag.
That's very true.
And what was Drew's whole basis? Oh, my grandfather served, and my grandfather served in the army, and So did mine.
Yeah.
So did my father.
And so did Malcolm Jenkins, who was really hurt by it, his teammate.
A lot of
guys were really, yeah.
Your grandfather isn't the only one that served, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Black, white, Anglo-Saxon, Asian, Native American, North Pacific, Islander, whatever have you. Everybody has family members that served in the United States Armed Forces, military. Okay? Your grandfather isn't the only one, Drew. Stop using that as an excuse.
And, I actually posted this last night on Facebook. I said, people think patriotism is Christianity. It's not the same. Drew Brees is a devout Christian. And I believe that there are many racist Christians. And
are you aware?
We had that conversation.
Are you aware how Christianity came amongst the blacks?
Yeah. We had the conversation on the phone.
Through slavery.
We had the conversation on the phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You already know how I feel about Christianity and where I stand on that.
Yeah, I understand.
So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's man-made. My opinion, I don't trust nothing that man touches. I believe that there's a God, whatever, whatnot, but we're going to keep it about sports.
For sure.
However.
Yeah.
That is a great plight that you put, mm-hmm. is that people want to confuse patriotism, right, with Christianity.
Right.
No.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Did you want to jump into the commissioner here?
Since we're talking about, back pedaling and whatnot, Roger Goodell issued a formal apology on behalf of the NFL, which I call BS.
Yeah.
Because if you felt this way, Colin Kaepernick would not be unemployed. Colin Kaepernick would not have had a class action lawsuit against you and the NFL and the 32 owners.
Right. Yeah.
Not only that.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick would be a starting quarterback in today's NFL when you have guys the likes of, oh my God, Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew, the young boy in New York,
your guy, defensive lineman, Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
Was just talking about how.
He said it best.
Yeah.
He said it best.
We went and signed
Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon.
When Colin Kaepernick was sitting out there. Mitchell Trubisky is a starting quarterback in the NFL, folks, and Colin Kaepernick cannot get a job.
Matt Schaub is still out there.
Imagine that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
imagine that.
Yeah.
That is an indictment of the NFL and how they tried to blackball Colin Kaepernick.
All you got to do, my guy, is look at the third string quarterback on every NFL team.
Look at the set. No, you ain't got to do that. Look at the starter.
Right, but I'm just saying NFL you can team. Start at the third string and be like, come on, bro.
Look at the starter on every NFL team.
I mean, Katie would look at these names and be like, come on, bro. And Katie don't even probably watch football like that.
Look at this.
And she'll be like, come on, bro. Like,
she'll say the same thing for the starters on every NFL team.
That's real. I mean, it's blatant, though. It's like right in front of you.
But, I'm glad that everyone came forward. I'm glad that everyone joined in unity, black, white, Asian, Latino.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. The fact that they came out and they did the same thing that Colin Kaepernick was protesting against from the very beginning, which makes him a martyr, and he will go down as a legend in history.
Absolutely. He's definitely going down as one of our sacrificial lambs of this generation. Unfortunately, that's the way you got to put it.
Like Muhammad Ali was in his generation.
But see, Muhammad, it's a little different only because he was an individual. It wasn't like more, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a boxer.
How was it more of an individual? Because Muhammad Ali was stripped of his titles.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick was stripped of his employment.
Yeah.
And we're not talking, second tier, third tier guy. He was a top level, top paid, $100 million quarterback.
Right.
Stripped.
And the unfortunate part about it is I just remember when he was reworking that deal with the 49ers, I just knew it was over. I'm like, don't let them renegotiate your deal.
And he didn't.
He did. Because remember, he ended up getting released.
No.
Or he bought out or whatever, however you want to call it.
He never restructured his deal.
Fam. At At the time,
I'm not going to argue with you. The reason why they couldn't trade him
is because he refused
to restructure his deal.
Just real quick. How did Colin Kaepernick end up a free agent?
Because his years ran out on his contract and no one signed him.
Bro, he had 2 years left. He had 2 years left.
Okay, look it up. Look it up.
I remember.
Look it up.
That's how he became a free agent. Because
look it up. He was not released.
Fam.
Look it up.
As sure as my name.
Stop talking. Look it up. Because we're not going to keep arguing here.
Well, my internet is tripping.
I'm not going to call you out and say that you're wrong and you need to do your research, but I really want to.
Bro, I remember it like it was yesterday. Go ahead and pull it up. I'm not pulling it up. I remember it like it was yesterday. The thing came on ESPN. It was like Colin Kaepernick and his agent is reworking his contract. And I knew it was going to result in him being a free agent. I don't know if he was bought out. I don't know if he was cut. The technical term, I can't give you that. I just remember at the time, it was in 2015. He had 2 years left. And they were like, okay, he's reworking his deal. And I knew he was going to come out on the short end of the stick because it was too much controversy around him. And I said, he's going to end up getting released. I even made a post about it on Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. I'm like, they're making a big mistake with this. And I knew he was going to come out on the short end of the stick. I remember. I promise to God, I remember. I'll never forget it.
He signed a $126 million contract in 2014. Okay.
Yeah.
But after three seasons of declining production.
Hold up. Now, mind you said 2014.
Be quiet.
He ended up a free agent in 2016. I mean, he had 2 years left on his deal.
Let me tell you a little story about a man named
Go ahead. Finish.
After three seasons of declining production, including one season of headlines surrounding his protest and a national anthem, we got to see that contract was not nearly as big as everyone made it out to be at the time. In the end, Kaepernick received $39.4 million from the deal, or about 31% of the total most people touted.
Exactly.
Wait. It said here, the contract gave Kaepernick a $12.3 million signing bonus and a 2014 salary of just $645,000. Those were the only truly guaranteed portions of the contract. Despite reports that Kaepernick's deal included a record $61 million in guaranteed money, it turned out the $61 million was only guaranteed if he were to suffer a career-ending injury. Each year of the contract, after the first, the 49ers were free to cut Kaepernick and not owe him any more money. To make matters worse, Kaepernick was supposed to get his first large salary, $12.4 million, during the 2015 season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It said, however, because of the way the contract was worded, the salary went down to $10.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick's salary went down to $2 million each year if he was not named first or second team All-Pro, mm-hmm. or if the 49ers didn't play in the Super Bowl the previous season with 80% of the snaps taken by Kaepernick. None of those things happened because they benched him.
I remember that.
Hold on.
I remember.
Wait.
That's not something that I'm willing to argue. I remember that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the 49ers were going to release him later in the summer.
See? Keywords. I knew it.
Kaepernick opted out of his contract in early March, hoping to take advantage of becoming a free agent earlier and having more time to secure a new contract.
That's what I said. I knew he opted out because, in my opinion, I was like, Kaepernick, that's the wrong thing to do because everybody's eyes is on you. Like, they at your head right now. Don't opt out. That's exactly what that's what I'm saying.
You said he restructured.
But I also said, bro, I just said.
You said
I don't,
he restructured.
But I also
I
said.
He didn't.
But I also said this. I said, I don't remember exactly how they worded it, whether he was released. The A, B, and C. I also said that. But I remember he got out of his deal early, and I knew that was going to come back to bite him in the butt. I was like, that's the wrong thing to do. You need to stay on this team as long as you can to prove that you can play. Because they was already saying, oh, bro, like I think C.J. Beathard or something. It was a super scrub that was starting over. It wasn't even Beathard. It was
the scrub from Jacksonville.
Yes. Yes. What's his name? Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert.
Yes,
oh
sir.
My God.
Yes, sir.
Blaine? His name is Blaine? Oh, that's a major appliance. That's not a name.
Yes, sir. Bingo.
That's why they did. But that's why they were benching him, because they didn't want to pay him that money.
You're right. But I remember in the midst of that, because all those stipulations you were saying, oh, he had to be all pro. He had to start this.
They didn't want him to do that.
Bro,
they didn't want to pay him.
That's exactly my point.
In the end, Kaepernick's 7-year, $126 million contract turned out to be a 3-year deal worth a tad more than $39 million.
There you go.
This is less than the 3-year, $45 million contract now, Mike Glennon signed with the Chicago Bears that past offseason.
Now tell me, based on what you just read, right, you have great sense. You're a great sports mind. You're a great mind in general. Doesn't somewhere in there tell you that that was reworked? If I sign a contract for 6 years, $126 million, and I only end up with $39 million, something got changed, bro. That was my whole point.
The only thing that got changed was the fact that they were not allowing him to start so he can put up the numbers to get the money he wanted.
But
that was the only thing that changed.
But what about the guarantees? Didn't you say something about $13 million? Oh, he only ended up getting a fraction.
If he played 80% of the snaps. Not only if he played 80% of the snaps, was named All Pro, blah blah blah.
Right. Everything, all the stipulations.
All the stipulation hinged on him playing.
Got you.
Thus, why they benched him.
I remember it. Yep.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. That was crazy, man. But I just remember, bro. I literally, as if I'm sitting in front of the TV right this moment. I remember when they came on SportsCenter and was like, Colin Kaepernick is in the midst of. They said reworking the deal, trying to get cut, whatever it was, it wasn't a good look for him, and his agent should have been fired because he got jacked.
But again, you know, just about Roger Goodell and his half-assed apology.
Yes,
we were wrong.
Yep,
you was wrong the whole entire time.
You was wrong, and you
along with the rest of the NFL fan base.
Yep,
who sat up there and thought that if they kneel, then I'm not going to watch the NFL. Who cares?
Right, they start burning jerseys.
We do
and
better
all
without you. So what? We don't need you.
And guess what?
More people
jersey,
to buy tickets.
Kaepernick jerseys
still the top seller. Still the top seller.
Yep. And this is the thing about it. What I love about us is we ended up pop culture has always been a part of sports.
Hip-hop culture.
Right.
Jalen Rose said it best. Mm-hmm. He said,
and those guys was rocking those jerseys at concerts.
Jalen Rose said it best. He said, I wish America loved black people the way they love black culture.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the deepest,
very true statement
things that resonated with me when he said that, because it was so true.
That sounded like something James Baldwin would have said back in the day.
You know, mm-hmm. it's so true.
Yeah.
So true to the point where, you know, you love the way we dress. You love the way we talk. You love the way we dance. You
Swag.
Love our hairstyles. Yeah. You love how we wear jewelry. You
right.
love everything we do.
Yep.
You go out and tan. You try to tan your skin and everything else. You know,
you know how many white dudes try to bro me? What up, bro?
You know, it's just crazy.
Okay, bro.
It's funny.
It's hilarious,
so
man.
You love black culture. Okay, we great. That's great.
What up,
you
brother?
Know what I'm saying?
What up, brother? What up, man?
We appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? It's great. But yet, this is the very first time
mm-hmm.
nationally, on a national scale, where a black issue became a world issue.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. And I love it, man. It's crazy. Like I've never seen the whole Black Lives Matter like shirts worn everywhere, and I mean it's just like, wow, this is, you know. And I don't know, you know, maybe some people are just doing it to be a part of something or doing it just to do it, whatever the case may
it's
be.
It's a movement,
and it's work. Something is working. What I have a beef with, and or maybe I hold it. Maybe I hold off for the booty-os. I hold off on that.
Okay,
but I don't appreciate the front office, not only Roger Goodell, but all of those guys.
Jay-Z.
Who work. Yes. All of those guys.
I tried.
Troy Vincent. And all of these guys who are right there, you know, who work in the office with Roger Goodell. Come on, man. Like, Roger Goodell, you. That apology was trash, sir. That was human trash that was displayed with that apology. It was terrible. You sat up there and said, not only did he say we were wrong 4 years ago. Yes, you were wrong. And we said it the whole time. Not only that, but you tried to backtrack. And first of all, you didn't even put Colin Kaepernick's name in there.
At all.
He was the one that started the whole movement.
At all.
He started it.
Absolutely.
That was trash.
That music is garbage.
And then on top of that, he's going to say some, well, we welcome protest. silent protests.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Because as soon as the season start and them jokers start kneeling, players going to start getting cut.
Yep.
And all hell's going to break loose.
Yep.
And it's just garbage, man. I read something and then I posted it. And it said, the right actions speak louder than the right words.
Absolutely.
If this is how you feel, Mr. Goodell, Mr. Commissioner, that made $52 million in 1 year, what did you actually do to make $52 million? What are you doing? You're not solving any issues. The referees are still calling bogus games.
Still missing calls.
Still missing calls. You know, the helmet situation is still bad with the concussions. Players are still doing what they're doing off on and off the field.
Robbing people, robbing dice games at gunpoint and whatnot.
All of these things are still going on your watch. What are you actually doing? You earned $52 million. And he's probably going to earn more than that in the future. I'm pretty sure.
Because you know why? He negotiates the TV revenue for the NFL. He negotiates the TV revenue for the NFL and the rest of the owners.
Man, this guy, man.
So as the TV revenue goes up, yeah. So does Roger Goodell's pay.
I'll be glad when he's no longer the commissioner.
Yeah, I miss Paul Tagliabue.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
So I hate Roger.
I don't even know where he came from.
Me either.
He must be some kind of lawyer or some kind of legal counsel type guy, but he doesn't have a clue as to what's really going on out here. And like I said, I'm disappointed in those guys in the office, man.
Troy Vincent, man. Like, come on, dude.
Shame on him. Shame on you. You played the game, bro.
Yeah.
You played the game. Y'all should hold Roger Goodell so accountable, put fire up under his behind to the point where Colin Kaepernick, you deserve. I don't even care what the out-of-court settlement was. We're going to give you 4 years pay, and we're going to make sure and demand that you end up on a roster. Give this man a guaranteed contract of at least $5 million because the Lions gave Chase Daniel $6 million for 2 years, or $6 million per year, I'm sorry, for 2 years. Guarantee this man at least a one-year, $5 million deal.
Garbage.
Give him a chance. Mm-hmm. To not only make a roster, but to compete for a starting job.
Absolutely.
Set him up in the right positions, man. Don't do this, man. The right actions speak louder than the right words.
Absolutely.
Hold this joker accountable.
Hey, Big's on fire today.
Man, it's ridiculous, bro. I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it, bro. This dude is better than 90 quarterbacks in the NFL. Well, probably not even 90 quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's better than 90% of the quarterbacks.
About 90 quarterbacks in the NFL because if it's 32 teams,
yeah,
and each of them have three,
yeah.
Well, my math sucks.
He's better than Mitchell Trubisky. I'll tell you that.
Man, he better than the quarterback. Every quarterback on your team and my team.
He better than Mitchell Trubisky. He's better than. What's the suck kid in Minnesota?
Philadelphia, yeah.
He's better than all them guys, man.
He better than Big Ben at this point.
Yeah, Big Ben.
Better than all the rookies like Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray. He better than all them guys, man.
Yeah.
He took his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I was just watching highlights of Kaepernick, man. This dude was Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely.
This dude was magical.
Absolutely.
You can't tell me that he can't stand flat-footed and throw a pass down the field. And he can't run the ball. He was a magical player.
Yeah.
You got to put this dude in the right situation. Give him the right block.
Jim Harbaugh did it.
Give him the right offensive coordinator that's going to help him thrive.
Jim Harbaugh did it.
Absolutely.
Put him in the right situation.
Jim Harbaugh's an NFL guy. He need to come back to the NFL.
Yes,
man.
He does.
Because he ain't never going to win. He's never going to beat Ohio State.
He's never going to beat Ohio State.
I can coach Ohio State, and he wouldn't beat me.
The reason why he wouldn't is because the players that he have are surfers. They're Malibu Stacys.
Wait, don't be fooled. She's just a regular Malibu Stacy with a stupid cheap hat. She still embodies all the awful stereotypes she did before.
But she's got a new hat.
They're soft. And until the alumni allows Jim Harbaugh to get his type of guys that are in Detroit, that are in Pontiac, that are in Highland Park, mm-hmm. that are in Romulus, that are in River Rouge, mm-hmm. until they allow him to go and get these black athletes from the inner city to compete with the black athletes from
Florida State.
Youngstown, Alabama. Ohio. No, we're talking about Ohio State. Oh, Youngstown, Ohio.
The region, yeah.
And, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, and stuff like
Cincinnati,
that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Until they allow him to do that, then maybe – then you'll put Michigan on equal footing ground, but the yuppies in Ann Arbor won't let him do it because they want what they call, quote-unquote, Michigan men.
And guess what? They losing – Michigan is losing assistant coaches every year to Ohio State.
Yeah.
They so far behind, it's ridiculous. Michigan is only the second best team in the Big Ten by default. Keep watching out for PJ Fleck and his squad. Keep on watching out. Watch out for Minnesota and them boys. And it's some teams on the uprise. Harbaugh keeps thinking
it's not
that
Harbaugh, man.
Well, whatever
it's
the case
not Harbaugh,
is,
because as you can see, Harbaugh was at the Black Lives Matter rally. He was there front and center. You know, and protesting and everything else in Ann Arbor, which is a very racist city in Michigan. Let's go blue! Those who don't know, Ann Arbor is very racist. Watch the Fab Five documentary. They'll tell you. Ann Arbor is very racist. The University of Michigan is very racist. Very seldom a black face goes to the University of Michigan that's not an athlete. Very seldom. Very rare. That's one of the reasons why they got rid of affirmative action.
Hey.
I can go on and on about the stories out there in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, but I definitely hold Roger Goodell, man, hold his foot to the fire, man, and get some action, bro. Like, until the action is happening, I don't believe nothing he says. It's all a farce. It's all for ratings. It's all see this is the perfect time. It's a cool time to be a part of the whole Black Lives Matter. Because it's a whole nationwide uproar. People in other countries see what's going on. You know?
Yeah.
So for that people to just jump
worldwide.
For people just jump in line and say, hey, Black Lives Matter, no justice, no peace, we can't breathe, all the cute statements, that's cool, but what are you really gonna do about it? What is the action really gonna say?
What is gonna be your actions 5 months from now?
Yeah.
What is gonna be your actions? Are you still gonna be Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, I just want to throw out a few things. Shannon Sharp, our Uncle Shannon.
Uncle Shay Sharp.
Uncle Shay Sharp.
Shay Shay.
Said what Drew Brees said, his teammates will never look at him the same.
Absolutely.
Because he spoke his heart.
Absolutely. I told you.
That's
you went with your first. You stated
says.
The truth with your first mind. So it's going to be interesting to see how players are going to want to get after him.
Yeah.
When they play.
His teammate, Alvin Kamara, recently said, I can kneel confidently because I know that with just a small gesture, a much bigger message is being conveyed. You know.
It's a lot of players who feel it's a lot of players who feel conflicted and beating themselves up because they didn't support Colin.
Guilty.
They feel real guilty that they didn't support Colin
yep.
when they should have.
You know, they're calling that white guilt.
No. We're talking about black players.
Oh, okay. Black players.
Black players who feel guilty about not supporting and standing with Colin Kaepernick.
It really takes a lot, too, because we know that NFL players, out of all the four major sports, they have the worst contracts. None of it is guaranteed.
If the stars do it, they have nothing. You know, it
That's
should have
true.
Took all the stars
That's,
in the NFL
there you go.
To band together.
There you go. The star players with the voices. Yeah.
But yeah, and the big contracts.
I appreciate what Coach 49ers Coach Kyle Shanahan said. He really came to the rescue and to the defense. And he said, how the heck are there only four black head coaches out of 32 teams? How are there only two general managers in the entire NFL? And his full interview came out, and he really went to bat, man. He was just he was letting them have it. He was like, dude, it's been a lot of race, you know, racism for many years, and he's seen it. He's been one of the assistant coaches. Brighter's over cracking up because I burped and I tried to squeeze it out and try to, you know, get it out and still talk. But
no one needed to hear that.
I don't know if you guys can hear it or not. We'll find out. But
in a league where it's predominantly 80%, 85% black in the NFL and only have four black head coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's absurd.
It's a predominant. That's another thing that Roger Goodell. The league is made up of all these black players. If it wasn't for black players, we wouldn't have an NFL. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Sean Carter.
Nothing but sit back and collect a check.
What are you
going to
do?
That was the whole reason for him going there, and I told you that's what it was. It's to line his pockets. He don't give a damn about Black Lives Matter. He don't give a damn about black involvement and whatever else in the NFL.
You know what? Even though we don't know nothing that he did yet, I'm still going to give him a chance.
I'm not. I'm done with
him. I still want to see what his – because remember, I don't know if you remember this, but when he initially did the whole deal and we had talked about Jermaine Dupri and he blocked him and all these different things and all that stuff, I specifically remember saying that Jay-Z is a very calculated figure. He doesn't just do stuff. But everything he does nowadays as a billionaire is successful. He doesn't put his name on something that doesn't succeed.
All he's doing
so
is
I'm still waiting.
You want to know what he did?
It's only been a year. It's been a year.
You want to know what he did? He brought Shakira and Jennifer Lopez out for the halftime show. Thank you. That's what he did. Okay? He's not going to do anything significant because who the hell is he? Okay? He's the poor.
I don't know, bro.
Listen, you got to understand something.
If Michael Jordan could come out and do all this stuff now and by the way, they're saying $100 million will be donated in the next 10 years.
Listen to me.
If Jordan can do it.
Listen, Jay-Z's the poor guy in the room, okay?
I get it.
Poor guy.
Jay-Z is also a guy that has a voice.
It's not going to resonate with multi-billionaires, okay? They only listen to people who's on the same level as them, not someone who's under them.
So if that's the case, why is the NFL listening now?
Because
are they really listening?
No, they're not.
But they appear to be.
They doing whatever to save face.
Okay.
Okay. That's what they're doing. They don't give a damn. They don't care. You think Kaepernick is coming back to the NFL? No.
I don't know.
He's not. It's over.
I mean, yeah, I feel like it's way he has way less of a chance.
It's over.
As each year goes by, I feel like it's over. Yeah.
He's not coming back. The owners are going to see to that because it's their league. It's a billionaire boys club. You got to understand, a lot of these owners are old traditionalists who grew up in the segregated era. Mm-hmm. All right? Rooted in the South. Understand that. You're not changing their ways. They're stuck in their ways. You're not going to change their mind.
Yeah. So just real quick, man, speaking of racism and different things like that, former MLB player Torrey Hunter. I love Torrey Hunter. He played for the Angels. He played for the Twins for many years, and then he came to the Tigers when we had that great run. Anyway, Torrey Hunter says this. This is a report by the Bleacher Report. I get guns drawn on me at my own home because they don't believe that I live there. Nobody heard that cry because I couldn't. And that was on his experience when he was living at his home in Anaheim, California. He had guns drawn on him. He also said, I have been called the N-word in Boston 100 times. It happened all the time from little kids and grownups right next to them. Didn't say anything.
And it's not surprising in Boston. That's a very racist place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that was just, some more players coming out with some stories. To lighten it up a little bit, I got some random stats for you today, man. You ready to hear about it?
Come on with your randomness.
John Wall, man, hasn't played a game in 2 years.
Not surprising.
He is.
What type of damn injury he's had?
Legs.
For it to be a 2 years?
Well, one was Achilles, I believe, and then the other one was he got injured moving or something. He cut something or did something.
And it requires 2 years?
2 years. This dude has made $79.5 million.
He's the modern-day Gilbert Arenas.
Upwards of $80 million.
He's the modern-day Gilbert Arenas.
I don't remember Gilbert missing a lot of time.
Towards the end, yes.
I remember when he had the whole gun situation with old boy.
And during that, and he still wasn't playing when he had the gun situation. Because he was
Gilbert made a lot of money, yeah.
He made a lot of money. He made a lot of money, but he didn't play.
Speaking of the Wizards.
Yeah.
The Wizards been getting jacked out of money for years. Dalvin Cook is holding out, man.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him, dude. I mean, Zeke got his bread, you know.
Mm-hmm.
McCaffrey got his money.
Mm-hmm.
And Dalvin is coming up on his, fourth year? And he's only going to be getting paid $1.3 million.
Now, I understand Dalvin's approach.
Oh, Gordon got his bread, too.
I understand Dalvin's approach.
Mm-hmm.
However, looking back, this was your only productive season.
Yeah, he did get injured his first year against the Lions.
Injured. Second year, you were injured. Mm-hmm. This year, you okay?
Yeah, he went crazy this year, though.
It don't matter. That's 1 year.
I hear you.
So you're trying to get a payday to go back to being injured? No. And they're not going to pay him. And he's going to hold out. And I'm telling you, he's going to hold out, and they're not going to care.
They got a couple good young backs to hold it down.
They're going
to
get some backs off the scrap heap, put them back there, but they're not going to pay Dalvin Cook this money.
How much you think he's trying to get?
He's trying to get a significant payday after one season.
So he's trying to get like the max?
Yeah. He's trying to get about $14 million a year. Ooh. After one season. One. You're not going to get
it. Yikes.
You're not going to get it. Ezekiel Elliott got it because Ezekiel Elliott was consistent.
Yeah, from day one.
From day one.
He carried the Cowboys.
Christian McCaffrey.
In the first year.
Got his money because Christian McCaffrey was consistent.
Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry have been running up and down these fields.
Derrick Henry is another guy who hasn't got paid.
That's crazy, bro. He got to get his money.
He's
because our boy just got paid. The quarterback just got paid.
Yeah.
He going to get it. He going to get it.
So Derrick Henry.
He worthy of it.
Hasn't got paid yet.
He going to get it.
So that's another guy who.
He going to get it. I'm just glad he not becoming a distraction.
No, he's not going to become a distraction. I mean, you know, it's just amazing to see, you know, what's going on with him because he's led the league in rushing the last 2 years.
Random stat of the day. Who is the only player in NBA history to play for all four California teams? You probably know this.
Yeah.
Who?
Matt Barnes.
Matt Barnes. Funny thing about it is he had two stints with every team except the Lakers. 2003-04 with the Clippers, and then back again for 2012 to 2015. With the Lakers, 2010 to 2012. With the Sac Kings, 2004-05, and then 2016-17. And then with the Warriors, 2006-08, and then 2017 when he got a free ring, which I'm proud of him. He said he don't count that ring because he said he just got a free ride. But, I mean, he got it, though.
With the Lakers?
No, with the Warriors in 17.
Oh, Warriors in 17, yeah.
Yeah, he said he got a free ride. He said they brought him in, he got hurt, they put him on injury list, and he won a ring.
Hey, it's all good.
Hey, you know, he got it, though.
With the Derrick Henry situation, though, he did sign a 10.2 franchise tender.
Okay.
For one year. However, year? they got till July 15th to work something out.
He's straight.
I just hope he get paid because the dude is well worth the money. But Dalvin Cook.
No doubt.
It's going to be hard for you, buddy.
No doubt.
For you.
Boogie Cousins might potentially sign with the Miami Heat
for
this little run that they're about to go on. Want to jump into the NBA real quick?
Yeah, while we on it.
Then we'll get into the top 10.
Yeah.
All right. So just real quick, as I predicted, and as Bright was said that the NBA will be garbage.
It will.
For the rest of the year.
It will.
I don't like the schedule.
No one does.
The schedule is super weird, bro. It's like training camp July 9th through the 11th. The 2019-2020 season picks back up July 31st. So you mean to tell me training camp is you got 20 days?
To give them more rest?
20 days? July 9th through 11th is training camp. And then the 31st through October 12th is the rest of the season, right?
Yeah.
And then you're going to have the draft in between that? The draft lottery is August 25th. The draft is October 15th. So the draft is 3 days after the season ends, the regular season ends.
Yeah.
That's weird, man. And then they start camp back up November 10th. And then the season starts December 1st.
That sounds like a rush.
That's crazy.
And a cash grab and then we're not even talking about the players who are going through this. And the funny thing about that is the players are sitting up here and they're wondering what the hell did we sign and sign up for?
Yeah.
Because now they didn't read the fine print and the little nuances in that contract that they signed to hurry up and rush these games. They're not going to like it.
22 teams. It'll be 13 teams from the West and 9 from the East to resume the season, which is weird. So I don't even know how that's going to work. But I guess it's going to be some kind of play-in to make it where it's like 8-1.
Whatever.
Yeah.
My thing is this, okay?
Zion Williamson got a chance. They're going to play
Of course they're going to throw
against Ja Morant twice in those.
Of course they're going to throw Zion in there. Because he's the ratings guy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Speaking of Zion, though, we do have some serious news. with him and his transactions at Duke as his former agent is running to the presses talking about Zion received improper benefits while a member of the Duke Blue Devils team. I don't know how true this is, but if this is true, this could be an everlasting stain on Coach K's legacy, and it could put Duke program into the ringer for years to come.
I hear you.
So this could really finish.
He was only there for 1 year.
Don't matter. It could and they didn't go anywhere because they got beat by Michigan State. Remember that?
My Spartans. So, go green. Go white.
It was because of the Maple Mamba couldn't make a damn free throw.
Remember the who?
Who?
The what?
Right. Who the is that? The Maple Mamba. But whatever.
This kid from Canada talking about the Maple Mamba.
Couldn't make freaking free throws, but whatever.
And I think Cam Reddish is going to be a bust. We're going to get into some busts.
Oh, man.
Whew. I think he's going to be a bust.
I told you he was. He wasn't ready to come out when he was at Duke. You're like, man, you need to stay all 4 years.
Yeah. They all should have stayed with that Jones kid. Was it Tyus Jones?
Yeah.
They should have stayed with him.
All of them except Zion.
Except Zion. Yeah.
Zion's the one that should have went. The rest of them,
Barrett. Scrubs. Barrett should have stayed, yeah.
Barrett, the Maple Mamba.
The Maple Mamba.
Who the is that? Garbage.
That's garbage.
That's garbage.
That music is garbage.
But moving on as we enter the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, I this whole season, I mean, this season relaunch, I think the NBA has missed their boat.
Yeah.
I think it's too little, too late. You're trying to force everyone into a 3-month stretch.
I mean, it's silly because why are you putting 20 days between camp and the start back up of
it
the
makes
season.
Makes no sense. And
like, if you're gonna start the season back up, right, just start the season back up July 1st.
It's not going to make any sense.
And then you can end the season in September.
To make matters worse, be prepared for a lot of bad basketball, a lot of broken chemistry, a lot of
injuries. It's going to be some injuries.
And then next season, mm-hmm. be prepared for a lot of load management.
Yes, I agree with that.
So that's coming. Because, again, no, these guys are not going to have an off season.
That's true.
And then you're talking about a grueling 82-game schedule.
I mean, I guess if you say this 3-month quarantine is the off season,
no.
But it's just throwing everything off.
Yeah, no.
Man, let's get into the big and bright top 10, man. I don't want to run out of time. this week, Big and Bright's top 10 is our top 10 busts of all time.
In the NBA.
This is my top 10. These are the top 10 guys that I think – their careers were trash. They were either picked super early or super high, mm-hmm. and they did not pan out. I only got one guy on here who had a bunch of injuries. But, hey, I mean, that's not my fault you got injured a lot. You know what I'm saying? So he turned out to be a bust, especially considering who they picked over. Number 10, Joe Smith. Joe Smith, power forward, drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Around the 95 season, somewhere in there, bust, complete bust. He was drafted very, very – if I'm not mistaken, he was the number one pick in that draft. Yeah, he was number one overall. So Joe Smith is number one for me. Number nine, I had to do it, Greg Oden. Greg Oden was picked number one over Kevin Durant. Needless to say, Kevin Durant has won 2 championships. Although I put an asterisk next to them, and I think he has no heart. He's also very soft, and he's not a leader.
10 man.
But he still has 2 rings, and he's been one of the greatest shooters in NBA history. Definitely top 10 NBA shooter of all time. So Greg Oden played about 7 seasons, if you combine everything together, with him being under contract. He ended up in Miami toward the end of his career as a bum on the bench. So – sorry that his knees didn't let him hold up his career, but Greg Oden is definitely an NBA bust. He's number 9 for me. Number 8, Michael Olowokandi. Bum.
A bum. That's what he is. A bum.
Drafted originally by the LA Clippers. He was the number 1 draft pick sometime in the mid to late 90s. He was number 1 overall. 7'2" frame, could block shots, definitely could rebound, couldn't score to save his life. Career wasn't that long. Number 7, this might be a name that you're not familiar with, LaRue Martin. LaRue Martin. LaRue Martin was the number one draft pick in 1972. This is a little history for you. Number one draft pick in 1972. At 6'11", he was expected to be a top NBA center. He was drafted ahead of, get this right, Bob McAdoo, Julius Erving. For somebody his size, he only averaged 5.3 points, 5 points a game, 4 rebounds a game, only 14 minutes for his career. So LaRue Martin is my number 7 guy. Number 6, Hashim Thabeet. Came out of Kentucky or UConn, 7'2", never could get it together. Number 5, Johnny Flynn. You guys, a lot of you might remember Johnny Flynn.
Point guard from Syracuse.
He was drafted over Steph Curry and a buttload of other guys. He only played about 4 years, and he's probably working for a copper company now. Who knows? Number 4, Martell Webster. In 2005, Martell Webster was the number 6 overall pick. I think he came out of high school. It was around a lot of guys were coming out of high school. So number 4, Martell Webster. Google him if you don't know him. Number 3, Sheldon Williams. Tank Bomb. Head, little face, Sheldon Williams.
Chiclet teeth.
Yeah, he was a number. He was a 5 overall pick as well, actually in the 2006 draft. Number 2, Sam Bowie. Came out of Kentucky. He was drafted between Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan. You probably never heard of him in your life. That's exactly why he's number 2. Number 1, bust of all time, the sorriest player. Speaking of Canada, guys, he was trash. He should have never entered the NBA. How the heck? Who is he? And where did he come from? And where is he now? Anthony Bennett, the worst basketball player in NBA history. Only averaged 2 points a game. He was drafted by the Cavs. He could have been a part of that dynasty with Kyrie Irving and the boy Tristan Thompson and those guys that were drafted. What in the world is Anthony Bennett? Where is he? Who knows? Worst NBA player ever. Number 1 for me.
So much garbage.
What you got, Bright?
All right, man.
Anthony Bennett, man.
That's deep right
He
there.
Only played 2 years, bro.
Yeah, well.
And then somebody brought him back, and then he only played like that 1 year, and he was out of there.
Me, my top 10 busts of all time, NBA history.
Yep.
Kind of dealing with modern history, dips back and forth a little bit. But number 10, I got to go with Jay Williams.
Oh, wow.
Out of Duke.
He had a motorcycle accident.
Bust, yes. You know, stellar career at Duke. You know, widely regarded as the best player in the country, along with Yao Ming. He was the cream of the crop in an underwhelming 2002 draft.
Absolutely.
However, you know, he crashed in his motorcycle.
Yep.
And the rest is history.
Messed his career up. He could have been the man.
Yeah. You know, he was selected before Amani Stoudemire and Caron Butler. So,
yeah.
Number 9. Robert Tractor Trailer.
Wow. God rest his soul.
He, oh, man.
He wasn't a beast, though, but.
You know, he was actually drafted by the Mavericks in 98 and was considered to be the main piece. But it'll go down as one of the worst draft day trades in history, man. So, you know, oh, Lord. You know, it's crazy because Dallas traded Trailer to the Milwaukee Bucks for the number 9 pick.
Okay.
And the number 19th pick, which was used to select Pat Garrity. You want to know who the number 9 pick turned out to be?
Was it Dirk?
Dirk Nowitzki.
Wow, I remember that. Yep.
So.
Was it Dirk?
Yeah.
It was Dirk.
Number 8, Chris Washburn out of Golden State in 86. Wow. You know, he was, it's just that 86 draft, man, was that's, you know, Len Bias.
Yeah, that's Len Bias, John Sally and those guys.
Yeah, Roy Tarpley, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, man. And it was just like the drug addict. It was like the drug addict draft that year.
They were it was like the tragic draft.
Hooked on drugs, man. So
Roy Tarpley did have a rough one in Dallas because he was always on drugs.
Hey, Dale Curry came out in 86 too. So,
did he?
Yep, Steph's dad. So
okay.
It is what it is. You know. Number 7, Adam Morrison
oh my God, how could I forget him?
Yeah, out of Gonzaga.
He was like the second pick in the draft or third by Jordan.
Yep.
To the Bobcats at the time.
Yep.
Wow.
He left all his scoring ability out in Spokane, Washington.
Bro, he averaged 29 points a game. Him and JJ Redick averaged 29 points a game at Duke and Gonzaga, respectively.
Yeah, so he was very underwhelming, but wow. He was selected before Brandon Roy, Rudy Gay, and Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
Moving up to number six, Kwame Brown with the Washington Wizards.
Okay.
You've already spoken on that. There's nothing else to talk about with Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown was regarded to be the first LeBron James before LeBron James coming out of high school, and Kwame just got to the NBA and just stank.
He came in that draft. It was a lot of young guys coming out that was around our age. Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry. And those guys came out in the same draft out of high school.
Yeah. Kwame,
yep.
But even though at 7 feet tall, he could barely palm a basketball at 7 feet tall.
He ended up playing about 12 years, though.
Yeah, he sat on a lot of benches.
It worked out a little bit for him. Played for the Pistons, Lakers.
Yep. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
He did have some controversy, too. He gone through a 2007 arrest, a rape accusation, and an incident where he threw cake at a fan. Can you imagine that?
That's funny. Wow. Remember when David Jones threw soup at David Jones got soup thrown at him by J.R. Smith?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
So, number five, Larue Martin, Portland Trailblazers in 72, number one pick. Yep. Of course, you know, he averaged a measly 5.3 points per game over his four-year career.
That was my guy, I said. Yep.
You know, Greg Oden, number four, Portland Trailblazers once again in 2007. But Greg Oden, injuries, I think, have robbed him of his greatness. We don't know how he would have turned out if he would have never got hurt.
I mean, you would think he could have been close to Shaq's numbers if he –
Yeah,
I don't know if he was as athletic as Shaq.
It's just one knee injury after another. But, you know, Greg Oden could play with his right hand. He could play with his left hand. You know what I'm saying? When he broke his wrist, his right wrist, he shot and played with his left wrist.
He could at least been Patrick Ewing.
He was nice, man. It's just the fact that, you know, hey, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think Portland is snake bitten and drafting centers and just players and all together.
Brandon Roy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Injuries again, you know. Number three, Michael Olowokandi with the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yep.
Again, you've already touched up on that. What's known?
7'2".
Don't need to be explained. Number two, Darko Milicic.
Wow. How can I leave Darko off?
As a
Piston fan.
All time.
Shame
bust.
On me. But he did play about 8 years, though. He ended up going to the Knicks and Timberwolves, and he averaged at least 8 or 9 a game type, you know.
Darko was hot trash.
Yeah. He was hot trash for being drafted second overall. If he was like a pick 20 or 22. You'd have been fine.
He hung around for 10 seasons, but he's never shown a glimpse of what made him a number two draft pick. He averaged 6 points per game over his career when compared to the players selected around him. He looks horrible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he was selected before Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris
Bosh. He was even selected over Kirk Heinrich and Chris Kaman.
Yeah. So, which leaves us with number one disappointing player of all time in NBA history, Sam Bowie.
Definitely.
Again, like
injuries.
You said, the icing on the cake is that Portland lost a coin toss for the first pick in the draft that year.
Mm.
Who went number one? Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem, that's my favorite player of all time.
So, you know, and he was selected before Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and John Stockton.
Yep. That was a heck of a draft, though, the 84 draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful draft. The 85 was nice, too. Joe Dumars. Patrick Ewing, it was a few nice players in the 85 draft. Johnny Newman.
It just goes to show that, you know.
Malone.
Yeah.
That was
just
a nice draft.
It just goes to show that it was just flat out utter just ridiculousness. So,
You know what's funny about our list, bro? A lot of 7-footers on them lists, man.
Oh, yeah. It's just because big doesn't spell bad, you know. Big doesn't spell bad, so.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on Big Country Reeves. It was another kid.
Because, you know, they weren't even worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Big Country Reeves.
Dude, do you remember Corleone Young?
Yeah, I remember Corleone
Young. For the Pistons?
Young. Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. There's so many
What about
players.
Ray Childress?
Oh, my God.
Out of Wake Forest was supposed to be Mr. Everything.
Man.
You know.
Macon.
Yeah. It's a lot of cats, man.
Out of Temple.
You can just go on and on and on and on about. You know what I'm saying? John Wallace. Remember him?
John Wallace. He was on He Got Game.
Yeah. Remember him? Yep. He was supposed to be Mr. Everything.
Hey, bro, they said Kobe was supposed to be Ray Jesus Shuttlesworth.
He was.
I didn't know that, man. Yep. I just found it out like 2 weeks ago.
I think I
could
said
you
that
imagine,
a long time ago before.
Could you have freaking.
On the show.
Well, I don't know if you said it on the show, but.
I did.
Okay. Maybe I wouldn't hear that. Maybe I came in late.
No, you just wasn't listening.
I wasn't listening.
The original
Jesus
Shuttlesworth.
Could you imagine if Kobe was Jesus Shuttlesworth?
The story was about somewhat perplexed about his life.
That would have been crazy, bro.
Because he initially, but the only reason why he couldn't get Kobe to do it is because they was in the finals that year.
And I was always sad that, really?
Yeah.
I was always sad that Kobe didn't get into movies.
It was in 2000.
Okay.
Spike Lee was getting ready to do it in 2000, and he was getting ready to come out with the movie. But, of course, it was going on, and you know what I'm saying, 99, 2000.
Okay.
The Lakers won their first title, and Kobe, being the young Kobe that he was supposed to play that role. However, they were still in the finals when Spike was ready to shoot the movie. Mm-hmm. So he had to go get someone who wasn't playing, a la Ray Allen.
Right.
So
Ray Allen was with the Bucks then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Before he went to Seattle.
Terrible actor.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Terrible.
That girl was fine, though.
Lala.
She was, man, she was
Rosario Dawson.
She was cold-blooded, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, getting into the bootios, you got a box you want to give
man,
up?
Man, I got a trash can-sized box, and it's going. Katie hit it.
The booty! Oh!
That is going to Troy Vincent, man. I'm ashamed. I'm appalled.
Clown.
I'm astonished.
Clown.
As a black man, as a former player.
Clown.
That you don't hold this man's feet to the fire.
Clown.
Roger Goodell. And impose. Like, don't you have some kind of power?
Clown.
Yeah, clown. He's definitely a clown.
He's a yes man.
Oh,
he's,
my God. He's just play a yes man. Play the Bozo the Clown, Marco, for us when you get a chance.
Hey, kids.
This guy does not deserve his job. You don't get to be high. These guys get paid handsomely, man. That's what I was talking about. What do Roger Goodell do?
They get paid handsomely to kiss ass. You got to understand.
That's exactly
that.
What they're doing, man.
They get paid handsomely to kiss ass.
So that's what my box is going to, Troy Vincent, man.
My box of bootios is going to, you know, it's so many that deserve a box. But while we're on it, you know, we can definitely give a couple boxes. Just, and it's going to be the same as last week, to those crooked cops out there that decide that they want to keep using force rather than using de-escalating methods. So cue it, Katie.
The booty! Oh!
Not only them, but also would like to send another box out to Commissioner Roger Goodell for that fake-ass, half-assed, weak-ass apology.
Yeah.
And trying to make it seem like Black Lives Matter, along with Drew Brees. Cue it, Katie.
The booty! Oh!
May all of you rot and rest in piss together.
I was going to give Drew Brees his own box. He gets another box. Drew Brees, you get two boxes of bootios. Hit it, Katie.
The booty! Oh!
That's right, your red little hiney. Yeah, Drew Brees, man.
Cut that birthmark off his damn face.
I'm definitely disappointed with him, man.
Disgusted.
Because
I thought Drew was down for the cause too, man.
Yeah, man. And
Drew, you a cornball, brother. In the words of my mentor Rob Parker, Drew Brees, you a cornball, brother. You ain't down for the cause. Cue it, Katie.
Hilarious.
The booty. Oh.
Damn, that's four boxes for Drew, huh?
Man.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, man.
Sucker. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we made your day
a little bit bigger
and a little bit brighter. Make sure to tune in to us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Interact with us. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep posting polls.
Yep.
We're going to keep posting things under the Big and Bright name and Big and Bright website, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Make sure you interact. This is why we do it. We do it for you. We are the voice of the voiceless. With that said, go ahead and lead us out, Deuce.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.